So I want you to turn to five separate passages. So if you don't have, you've got ribbons, use your ribbons. If you've got junk in your Bible like I do, you've got bulletins and other stuff. If nothing else, use your faith promise cards. Got them filled out, break them in half, and use them as bookmarks. But I need you to bookmark some passages with me. So I want to begin by just, I won't even get you to stand. I'll just share a part of a verse. Matthew 18:16, the Lord Jesus said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, you had to have that in order to declare the death penalty. You could not have the death penalty on one witness. There had to be two witnesses, or three was better. And that was a principle that's carried out about five or six times in the New Testament. So I'm going to use that principle of two or three witnesses, and I want to present to you the gospel. I want to present to you the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is the gospel, and the gospel is the Great Commission. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, and as you turn there, I want you to put a mark in it. And I'm going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, right at the end of Matthew, and that'll be the first place that you put a bookmark or you put a ribbon in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, because we'll be back here. Matthew, chapter number 28. I will read to you what Matthew says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That is Matthew 28:18. But then put your marker there. Look, if you will, Matthew, and then the book of Mark. Matthew, and then turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark this time, Mark chapter number 16. Mark 16. Again, the gospel was written from four different perspectives, and it was written, it was not designed to match identically, but it was separate testimonies of the same truths that was from different standpoints and different emphasis. The book of Mark, chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That is the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Now take your Bible and put a marker there and turn with us to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 24. And I know this is a lot of turning, but I want to establish something. I have a reason for doing this. Luke 24 in verse number 47 is where we'll begin. And I'll stick a faith promise card there. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 20 and in verse number 1. Now, John does not go into the same detail that the others do, because John was the eagle gospel. He was seeing things from God's perspective. John chapter number 20, and in verse number 21, then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. One more time, we're going to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1, put a marker where you were and turn to Acts chapter number 1. You're going to have all this paper sticking out of your Bible. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What I want you to see is the Great Commission as a standalone truth is presented in your Bible at least five times. Now, in principle, it's hundreds of times. But I'm talking about the words of Christ and what was said to the disciples or to the believers. And so the Great Commission as presented, a standalone truth at least five separate times in your Bible. I took that and I call it the harmony of the gospel. Now, if you've ever read a harmony of the Gospels, if you have a book like that, it takes the four Gospels and it puts them side by side, and it puts them what they believe in time order, chronological order. And by the way, I disagree with one of the more famous of those. I believe he got some things wrong. I don't believe they occurred where he said they did. And so I disagree with that, but that's a story for another time. But what I do want you to see is that we have truths that are being given. And some truths are given to this congregation at this time by this author. Some are given to this and some are given to the other. But I want to do a compilation of all those things and look at some truths concerning this whole thing of missions. You say, well, preacher, I was raised in a church and we only had two missionaries, Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. That's the only two missionaries we ever supported. And I don't know what them old ladies was doing, but we never could get their houses paid off or something, because every year we kept paying on them bills. On them, you know, people didn't even know what it was about half the time. And that was what missions was for many. I never met a missionary. I never met a missionary. I never even knew one until I was about grown. I mean, there were missionaries from our area, and I still didn't know them. And so, it's sad what missions has become in our churches, particularly through, all the cooperative programs and stuff. You never, ever get to meet them. You never, ever get to know them. You never, ever get to interact with them. And so there's some pluses, but there's also some minuses. But I want you to look at one of the truths found in John chapter number 20 and verse 21. And if you can't keep up, I've got to hurry, so I won't wait on you to turn. The Bible said that Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." Can I say this way? That is a part of the Great Commission. That's what he said. Peace be unto you. And then he said, "As my Father sent me, even so send I you." I almost didn't use it. But I got to thinking, you know what? Peace is a big part of what we're doing this morning. Because ain't nobody telling you what to do. You're going to have to let the peace of God rule. But I'm going to tell you this, if you get the peace of God on something, you better go with it. And if you ain't got the peace of God on it, you need to pray till you get the peace of God on it. You hear what I'm saying? Because that's how this works. And somebody said, "Well, I got peace to give $10 million. Well, write the check. Let's get it to the bank right quick. Now, what I'm saying is, you know what I'm talking about. God won't. The Holy Ghost will not give you that seal of approval on something foolish. I beg to differ with whoever wants to argue. I beg to differ. Holy Ghost has never put a blue ribbon on ignorance, and he's never put a blue ribbon on foolishness. But I tell you what he will do. Son, he'll give you peace that passes understanding if you find his will. And you set out on his will, friend, it'll work. You trust me, it'll work. The will of God will work. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. I know for a fact it'll work. The peace of God will work. 2 years ago, I presented 95 new missionaries to the church on this day, 2 years ago. Us take on 95 new missionaries. It stunned our missionaries. And you don't shake old Stephen, but that shook him. He said, "Do what?" Amen. Well, I'm not going to make no brags, but I will say this. Praise God, for 24 months, Amen. God has supplied. Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us. Whether he does tomorrow or not, we'd still have to bow our unworthy heads from now and forevermore for what he did do. Hallelujah. Amen. And rejoice about what he did do. What a miracle these 24 months have been. Boy, I'd like to stand here next year and say 36 months, wouldn't I? I'd love to, but that's not up to me. That's up to the Holy Ghost speaking the peace of God to hearts. So there's the peace to give, but I'll say this, there's the peace to go. How else does somebody leave father and mother, houses and lands? How else does somebody pull up by the hair of the head and take off to some other place? How in the world is that? I can tell you how it works. At peace of God. It don't mean you don't love your mama less than somebody else. Well, he's leaving her. Listen, the peace of God. God will take care of mama. I got to go take care of what God's got on me. Monday morning, they were going to camp. I think it was either Monday morning or Tuesday morning. And I started getting pictures on my phone of busloads of Ayamada up in La Paz, Anchor Baptist Church, La Paz, Bolivia. The first independent Baptist church that ever owned a building in the city of La Paz. And so I started getting pictures of Ayamada faces. I can say probably with possibly the Alaskans, Native Alaskans being equal, but some of the hardest people that I've ever known and have ever met and have ever tried to work with in my entire life are the Native Alaskans and the Native Ayamada. And you know what Stephen said? He was grinning ear to ear and he's taking pictures over his head with his phone backwards. You know what he said? He said, "Preacher, these are my people. These are my people." Yeah, your people shot at you, Stephen. Your people, there's three killed in the street in front of your house. Stephen, you was pinned down for 3 weeks, couldn't even get groceries. Your people, right? We got him out. The president resigned in a civil war and a coup, and we got him out in the middle of the night, and they flew down, and Brother Whittemore flew down to him, and they weren't good. It wasn't good, Brother Whittemore. It wasn't good. We rehabbed him in Santa Cruz a little while so we could get him straightened out, and then we flew him into Asheville, and all the media's there, and they've been seized and all those things, and when they stuck the mic under his face, they said, "What's your number one concern?" He said, "When do I get to go back?" They said, "Sir, you just come out of a war. You just come out of being shot at. You just come out of seeing people die in front of your house. What are you talking about?" He said, "They're my people. I can't wait to get to go back." I'll tell this on Daniel. When Daniel was in Bethesda, Maryland, reconstructive surgery, half the side of his head gone from a IED, tore his Humvee in half. The President of the United States come to his bed. President George W. Bush said, "Son, what can I do for you? How can I help you?" You know what he said? "Let me go back to my unit, sir. Sir, let me go back to my unit. Just let me go back." And by the way, the Commander-in-Chief had power to do that. Commander-in-Chief has power to do anything. But George Bush wouldn't grant that request. But you know what? Daniel Nicholson, you know what his request was? "Just let me go back to my unit." But they've hurt you and they've wounded you and you're going to be a Purple Heart recipient. You got more surgery scheduled. What can we do for you? And he asked the president, "Let me go back to my people. Let me go back to my unit." Amen. He did do it. What causes that, preacher? What causes a man to have that kind of "in me is"? Paul said, "Hey, as such as in me is, I'm ready also to preach the gospel in Rome." Such as in me is. What causes the "in me is" in a man? I can tell you what it is. It's that peace of God. Son, man get the peace of God on him, he's dangerous. You know that, don't you? Man get the peace of God on him, he'll charge hell with a squirt gun. If you get the peace of God on you just right. Because nothing else matters when you just get the peace of God on you just right. And the Lord said that there's a prospective peace as proof for missions. He said, "Peace be unto you." But there's also a personal proposal to participate in missions. Matthew said it this way, "Go ye therefore." Mark said it this way, "Go ye into all the world." Luke said it this way, "Ye are witnesses of these things." John said, "So send I you." Acts said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." I want you to understand that there is a personal proposal to participate in missions. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not one of those people that can do that. I'm not one of those people that can go." Well, you can still participate, hallelujah. I'm glad to report to you, there's a magic envelope in front of you. It's in your pew right there. Do you see them? See those little black and white envelopes? I call them envelopes. Miss Horton says they're envelopes. You know what's so magical about that thing? You know what's so supernatural about that? You can put something in that and you can turn it into shoe leather a half a world away. And for the most part, in most of the places we serve, you put in a dollar and they take out several because they convert it into the currency of the land and they take out several dollars. You put in $1 and in India they take out over 70 rupees. In Pakistan you put in one, they take out over 150 rupees. In the Philippines you put in a dollar, they take out 50 pesos. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That there's an exponential thing to this thing. Hey, I like a deal. I like a bargain. I like something that's going to pay dividends. And I like something that's worth the money. I don't like buying anything at retail. I like buying something at a discount. And I make sure that I got my money's worth. Well, can I say to you as the best I can? Now listen to me. As the best I can, I've pored over these names now for months. We started, hey, this what we read this morning didn't start this morning. Yes, Miss Horton, I've been working on this since the 1st of November. I work on it year round, but I've been working on it intensely since the 1st of November. And we've made some changes because I want to assure you that your dollar's worth a dollar on the other end and that you're getting at least a dollar's worth from the money that you put in. That's my goal. That's my hope. That's my commitment to you. There is the personal proposal to participate in missions. But then I would say there is a prioritized purpose to preach in missions. What did he say to do? He didn't say to go over there and make Americans out of them. He said in Matthew, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And Mark, he said, preach the gospel. In the book of Luke, he said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Can I say hallelujah? That there's a call to evangelism. There's a call to enlistment. There's a call to enlightenment. There is a call to discipleship, to preach and to teach. And that's what we're there for. Thank God when we can do projects and we can help their lifestyle and we can do things for them. We just got through putting water to a village in Tarija. And that was a public works project. And we funded the whole thing. As a result, the chief come to Christ. Things have changed dramatically in that place. They had beat our missionary to the point he couldn't even grow hair on his head. They beat him to the point and throwed him out so many times. They're a vicious, wild people. And yet now we've provided water to that village and now the chief has got saved and the chief is the sheriff basically. And he said, don't you touch that preacher. He can have you beat. I don't know what the story has been. I haven't heard any reports, but I'm looking forward for favorable things that God's going to do. I'm talking about the prioritized purpose is to do what? To preach the gospel. We're there to preach the gospel. We're there to see people saved. And then we're there to train them so that they can teach others and preach the gospel themselves. Then there's the promised power to persuade admissions. Jesus said this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then in the next verse he says, go ye therefore. Amen. Can I just slow down and comment on this right here? The word power right there really needs about three sentences. Because the power that he's talking about is a power. This is what Philip said. Looking at that word that's used for the word power, it's not dynamos, like dynamite. It's not that word. Dunamis, it's not that word. Instead, it's exousia. And that word means all the right of absolute authority and all the resources of absolute power. That's what Christ said he was giving us. And he said, therefore. Go ye therefore. Can I just tell you, what you are doing, you can't do in your power. What we are doing here, we can't do it in our power. Scare you to death. You wouldn't sleep a wink tonight if I told you you had to keep the books for a week. It's terrifying. It's not by our power. not by our might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. The Bible said, all power given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore. And then He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. I'm glad to report to you, He's not going to leave us, comfortless. David Livingston said about that verse, he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. David Livingston said this, it is the word of a gentleman of the most sacred and strictest honor. Christ said, I'll be with you to the end of the world. And David Livingston said, it is the word of a gentleman of the most sacred and strictest honor. And he said, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. God said it, that's the end of it. Amen. Can I say, as we say today, God said it, that settles it. Amen. Luke said, you be endued with power from of on high, Luke 24:49. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I want you to understand that if we do mission in our power, it'll just be a little dribble here and a little dab there, just a little. But oh, my friend, can I say to you, listen to me. I don't know that we'll have anybody saved this morning. I'd like to see somebody saved here at 3232. I would. Love to see that. And somebody said, how many did you have saved yesterday? And I said, well, the reports ain't all in. Well, you was there. Well, no, you see, we meet. We're a part of churches that meet round the clock. Our churches started meeting in the Fiji Islands way yonder. And they'll continue meeting. And it'll go all the way around. You understand what I'm saying? It's midnight in the Philippines. I'm talking about all the way around. Listen, the sun, they used to say that the sun never set on the British Empire. Can I say to you that the sun never sets on the missionaries of Anchor Baptist Church and Ministries? There's never a time, hallelujah, there's never an hour in the clock that I know of that somebody's not preaching somewhere. Either way before us or way after us. But somebody's preaching almost all the time. How does that work, preacher? It ain't by our power, hallelujah. But there is that promised power to persuade. So I said, well, they won't listen. Well, they do listen. The hardest people on earth, and they listen. How does that happen, preacher? It happens through that power of God. And if we go in anything else, we are going anemic. Can I say, there's also the planet's potential prospects of missions. What does that mean, preacher? Well, this is what the Lord said. This is who we're to reach. The Lord said in Matthew, all nations. The Lord said, I heard this, and I read this. It said, untold millions are still untold. Thousands of dialects, there's not one page of scripture in. Scary. Mark said, into all the world. Mark said, to every creature. Luke said, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts said, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Can I just, I'm going to wind it down. Can I just say it this way? So many times we see the Great Commission as a burden and not a blessing. But what I'm proposing to you here this morning is not a burden. No, 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 please don't. Oh, I can't wait till we get through. Wait, that preacher's all these harped on missions all month. I can't wait till he gets done, moves on to something else. Well, if you know me, I don't move on nothing else. I just bear down a little harder than January, but I preach missions year-round. Because it's the heartbeat of the New Testament. It's the heartbeat of the New Testament church. It's the main thing. It's what we're supposed to be doing, folks. It's the main thing. But listen to me. The older I get, the more I like my bed. I've got fibromyalgia, and man, if I go stay somewhere, I might as well sleep on that floor right there. I mean, I like my bed. I like my bed and my bedroom. I like it. I got certain pillows I like. I'm getting spoiled in my old age. But listen to me. I get the pillow of my head tonight. I've got the potential to reach the whole world and sleep in my own bed tonight. You say, but what about them that don't get to sleep in their own bed? God's done put the peace of God in their heart, and they're loving it. All they talk about is wherever they're going. If you talk to Timothy, it's Philippines, Philippines, Philippines. If you talk, I was with Jeremy last night, Mongolia, Mongolia, Mongolia. That's all he talks about is Mongolia. You talk to Samuel, it's Israel, Israel, Israel. Hey, that's the way it ought to be. If you talk to David, it's Arctic, Eskimos, Native Alaskans. That's all he talks about. And so it should be. But you need to understand, that's home to them. And when they come out, they feel out of place. When they come home, they feel out of place. They can't wait to get back to the field. Oh, happy day. Only a God could design a plan where I could be a worldwide missionary and sleep in my own bed tonight. Now, you have to understand, I wasn't one that wanted to stay. And don't think I'm charging God foolishly, because I'm not. But I had no desire to stay. Matter of fact, when missions got a hold of me, I surrendered anything and everything. If I saw a missions display, I went. That's where I was going. Son, I went. I even surrendered to go to New York City. I mean, and me a country boy. I surrendered everything. My wife can tell you. I got an awful mess. I'd lay for days and beg God over something, and then it'd go away, and I'd get peace. Don't worry about it. And then I'd get it again. And I bet you I surrendered. And no telling how many times I surrendered and surrendered and surrendered. And then the Lord said, "No, you don't have to go. I just want you to surrender." And then the Lord said, "I need you to stay." That was probably the hardest thing I ever surrendered to. Probably the hardest. But it was God's plan. But boy, I love to go. Oh, I love to go. I go by the airport. Now they cut them trees down. You can see the runway so clear. I get all emotional. Oh, God, I get all emotional. I see them airplanes ahead now, and I'm thinking, oh, where could you go on that one? Just think, in 24 hours I could be anywhere on the planet. Oh, I'd like to go. Boy, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. And by God's grace, I'm going to do more traveling this year, by God's grace, than we have in the past years. And can I tell you, I felt the power of God. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm on both hands, I can name the times I felt the power of God. I'm talking about so strong that I thought God was going to squish me if he didn't let up. I thought I didn't know if my heart could take any more. And do you realize that a full half of those and maybe more were on foreign soil? And the power of God fell in such a way I can't describe it. All I can do is weep about it. I can't tell you what God did. I can't explain it. If I tried to explain it, people would think I'd gone charismatic. They'd think I'd gone crazy. All I know is God showed up. And when God showed up, it changed everything. Absolutely. And I've had it happen in Egypt. And I've had it happen in the Dominican Republic. And I've had it happen in, of all places, in Colombia, South America. I've had God, the Holy Ghost, sit down. And boy, when he does, oh, happy day. There ain't nothing like it on this planet. Hallelujah. If you told me I could get in the will of God, I could find the power of God, I could find the presence of God, if I'd walk to Florida, if I'd walk to Florida, I could get in the presence of God for 10 minutes. Hey, I'd sit out walking barefoot right now if I thought I could make it. And you'd assure me that God would show up and meet with me and feel the presence like I felt. What I'm trying to say is, folks, I'm not preaching missions from some perspective that I don't know anything about. It's not the case. I know almost every one of these boys personally. I know who they are.
I know how they live. I know how they make do with what they have. Some of the finest Christians on God's earth, I believe, are in that book we read this morning. So I said, why did you take all the time to read that? Because their names are worthy to be read. You'll hear their names again someday. When the rewards are being given out, you'll hear their names. And you'll be able to say, I know him. I supported him. I helped him. I believe they're going to be in the front of the line. That's who we support. God's chosen. And I want the focus not to be on the numbers. And I don't want the focus to be on how many. I don't want the focus to be on the amount, because it's staggering. But I want the focus to be on the fact that there are people that have given up everything to go and fulfill the Great Commission. And if they've given up everything to go, what do you think we ought to give to get to stay? Let's bow our heads and hearts together.